And now we are delighted to welcome Emmy Award-winning editor, filmmaker, educator, and arts and education coordinator at the Sanctuary for Independent Media, Branda Miller.
Hello.
Welcome. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for interviewing me.
We're very happy to have you here. On May 5th, the Sanctuary for Independent Media will be holding its last event of the North Troy Environmental Justice Film Festival. Attendees will get to watch remotely the film, witness your film, Witness to the Future, and then watch a pre-recorded question and answer between you and Robin Oppenheimer, the producer. Witness to the Future is turning 25. Happy birthday.
And we both watched the film. Jody and I were both really absorbed by all of the content. Could you give us a quick synopsis of the film?
Sure. Witness to the Future is an experimental documentary that was created in a participatory mode that isn't the same as traditional media making, where we went across the country to three sites and collaborated with witnesses, people who were speaking out in their backyard against the worst of toxic violations to their backyards and their communities in San Joaquin Valley, California, looking at Hanford Nuclear Reservation in Washington and Cancer, Louisiana, Cancer Alley in Louisiana. So the focus was on soil, air, and water, and people who were speaking out, so-called ordinary citizens who were struggling to protect their families, their communities, and their organizations and the world, trying to network people and give voice to their own personal experience.
It's really great. And you used the word experimental before. Can you just touch on a little bit about what the experimental nature of that was and then how it was presented? I was looking at the website, the media website, Media for Sanctuary Independent Media website, and the review from Wired Magazine of them talking about a CD-ROM. And I was curious about how this film was presented. If you brought it, you put it on a CD in this kind of pre-DVD world of, 25 years ago, what was that process? How did you guys do that?
Yeah, well, that there's several questions in there. So as far as the creation, you'll see when you watch the film that there's no voiceover, some kind of godlike voice from above that's telling you what's happening. The voice is of the people who are in the film. And in each case, there was a lot of time spent on the phone and at the home of the witnesses, negotiating how we as a camera crew could be there for them to choose their own representation of their life and their story. And so that was the participatory component. And what we saw was these universal themes that rose up didn't matter where they were or what their struggle was, whether it was air, soil, or water, the same issues came up. As far as the technology, it was, it was on a CD-ROM, and we were working with Criterion Collection and the Voyager Company, and there was a huge amount of work that we did on this CD-ROM, getting all the rights, which of course weren't rights to the internet. It was pre-internet, mid-90s. It was just starting, and Barnes & Noble was supposed to have a kiosk with the CD-ROM, and then basically Barnes & Noble went down, and there were no CD-ROMs. But it was an opportunity at the time to at the beginning of the internet, think about how a CD-ROM could link from the documentary to the organizations, to the people, so that you could use the documentary as an organizing tool. And it was very much created, that's another experimental level of it, it was created not as something where the audience member would be in a passive position, but much like the filmed, so the audience as well would be activated into a different kind of participatory mode of making change in their community. The CD-ROM offered, you know, this miracle that now we do with Google search, we search, we look, but in other words, it was tethered to the voices of the community. And one of the really most exciting aspects of the CD-ROM is that we had gotten the digital rights for the CD-ROM to Rachel Carson's Silent Spring, which leads the film. Rachel Carson's quote leads the film. There was once a town in the heart of America where all life seemed to live in harmony with its surroundings. What has already silenced the voices of spring in countless towns in America? And so this was a project that was dedicated to give voice to the people who had been silenced in these communities, but who were really rising up in heroic ways.
I really like that you said the process was participatory, that you were listening to the people who had initiated this activism and centering their voices. And so the North Troy Environmental Justice Film Festival is showcasing the power of media activism. This can be photography, audio, video, digital arts. And what would you like listeners to know? We were talking just before this about the toll that it has on you. What would you like listeners to know who are thinking about using media to fight environmental and social injustice?
Well, I think that there's a great power in using media, not to sell products to eyeballs, but to reach people in their hearts and in their spirits, in their minds, and move them to action. And so I think at the core of community media and participatory media is a deep focus on empathy, on standing in the shoes of others, of hearing their stories, and of being moved to action. And I think that the other films in the North Troy Environmental Justice Festival do that as well. I was moved, in Echoes from Lock One, the story of the Stockbridge Muncie community, who was forcibly relocated, to Wisconsin, that connection between the trauma for the indigenous peoples of our land is the same connection to the trauma of nature, of the Hudson River that we're at the shore of, and also of the systemic racism, which, still is so overwhelming today. They're all connected. And that's what Witness to the Future talks about as well. The youth in our community took the story of the Stockbridge Muncie community and saw it in its current day. And they're using media to talk about environmental racism and to inspire people to come together in unity. And I think that there's the power of media allows us to cross past our silos that keep us so disconnected and reduce our ability to have power. And so I think that media, for example, in these films, in all these films, in Eureka, in Echoes from Lock One, in Witness to the Future, and also in the amazing pieces that were done from our local media makers event about Norlite and Queemans, it is the power to bring together environmentalists, anti-racist organizers, labor organizers, anti-poverty organizers, to really look at the intersectional qualities that connect us all as we try to imagine a better world and struggle for it.
It's really interesting to me that you said you mentioned the youth people and the youth organizers and those people being behind the camera, because in front of the camera, I noticed a lot of older folks. And I thought that was really interesting, as opposed to, you know, you see a lot of young people out there today. And I was wondering if that was just a sign of the times from back then. It was more older people involved, but really phenomenal.
That's a really interesting question about, I mean, the focus when we were looking for people who were whistleblowers, who had stood up, you know, against all odds in their community, who had nothing to lose, even though they were risking everything, Wilfred Green from Cancer Alley says, and he was an elder black man who lived in a little, basically, you know, shack next to this huge industrial site. And he said, I'm going to give up when I'm dead. And then hopefully I will have put enough in my children that they will carry on. So I think that there really is a generational theme that was introduced in Witness to the Future. And especially today, 25 years later, where it's not like these problems have been solved in some ways, it feels more dire than ever. But where there's really so much hope, especially from younger generations, as they are joining together in intersectional struggles to realize a better world.
Mm, yeah. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it right there. But we invite our listeners to check out, to register for the event on mediasanctuary.org. You can find the North Troy Environmental Justice Film Festival, on Friday, May 5th. Yes, on May 5th, you can watch A Witness to the Future and also watch a Q&A between Branda Miller, who was just joining us right now, and producer Robin Oppenheimer. So thank you so much for joining us. This is a really powerful film, and I would encourage people to watch it. I think it's a really important film. And unfortunately, I think, you know, I mean, I wonder how much has changed.
Yep. Well, thank you so much for featuring this discussion about Witness to the Future. And thanks for all the important work you do, with Hudson Mohawk Magazine, with the Sanctuary for Independent Media. We are carrying on the critical need to have voices to fight injustice and, you know, to, you know, try to heal the world.
Mm, yeah. And I learned from you, Branda. So I appreciate what you've taught me. You're a very important person to me and the community. So thank you for joining us.